It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Some early betting about a Trump economy year one. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. In early trading on this Monday, the S&P 500 index was up 2.4% since the election of Donald Trump. Bonds are down in anticipation of either stronger growth or inflation, depending on your outlook. Sectors such as fossil fuel, defense contracting, private prisons, and pharmaceutical companies have been rising, with Republicans to be sitting in the executive branch and in both houses of Congress. And what about the economy itself in the first year of a Trump presidency? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman from our bureau at Oregon Public Broadcasting has been talking to economic forecasters and has this extended metaphor.
Think of the economy like a relay race at a track meet. President Obama is coming to the end of his lap. He's about to pass the baton to Donald Trump. How's Team America doing? Well, job growth is steady, around 175,000 per month. Unemployment's below 5%. And growth could speed up, says John Canale at LPL Financial.
There's going to be a substantial fiscal stimulus coming down the pike. Tax cuts, and importantly, a big infrastructure package.
Trump has proposed spending $500 billion on roads, railroads, airports. Short term, that much spending would put Team America on steroids. Long term, it could burn our runner, the economy, out.
Tax cuts and spending increases raise the odds that you do too much of something. So do you spend too much? Do you borrow too much? Do you build too much? Those excesses are typically what cause recessions.
And Bernie Baumol at the Economic Outlook Group thinks there's a big risk Trump will stumble right out of the gate if he cancels trade deals or starts a trade war with China.
Does Trump believe that he can lord over the U.S. economy the way he lords over his own company, that he can negotiate with other countries the way one negotiates with other firms? He is probably badly mistaken.
Josh Bivens at the Progressive Economic Policy Institute says stimulus spending and massive tax cuts will make the economy run faster at first. But he likens the economy more to a marathon than a sprint and doesn't think Trump will give the muscles, that is, the workers in this race, the fuel they need in the form of higher wages.
I don't see a lot of push to raise the minimum wage. You'll see continued attacks on organized labor, and I think unions are really key to supporting wages.
Economists surveyed by the Wall Street Journal after the election put the chance of a recession in the next 12 months at 20%, up from 14% this time last year. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
On trial starting today, whether the health insurance companies Anthem and Cigna should be allowed to join forces in a merger deal worth $48 billion. It's the last big thing for the Obama administration's antitrust team. For some context here, let's bring in from Ann Arbor Eric Gordon, a professor of business at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Eric, good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So remind us again, why is the Justice Department challenging this proposed union between these two big health insurance companies?
Well, health insurance is a big cost factor in healthcare. There's some concern that if you allow two insurers that are this big to get together, that they can raise the premiums that you and I pay, that our employers pay.
All right. And what happens if the Department of Justice actually wins a stop to this preliminary injunction?
So if they win this preliminary injunction, the deal, for all practical purposes, is dead. Either company can appeal it, but that takes a long time. Mergers are like fresh fruit. They don't last forever. You either close them or they start to get a little rotten and they don't happen. So if the government wins this first round, it's probably over. If they lose, they're going to go back in for a second round, probably in January, and have another shot at blocking the merger using another theory of law.
Another theory of law, but also the world is changing. The context is changing. There's a new administration coming in. Do you think that will play out as they scrutinize a merger like this?
You know, you have to think that the companies are hoping that they survive until there's a new attorney general who might have a different sort of economic view of the world, presumably more favorable to the companies. Although it's possible that the merger will get these companies, the insurance companies, enough power to cut better deals with hospitals and lower the cost. At least that's what the companies claim.
Something for us to watch as the day goes on. Eric Gordon at the Ross School of Business at the University of Michigan, speaking from Ann Arbor. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, David.
This season on Codebreaker, we have a new big question that we are asking about one kind of technology in every episode. The question, can it save us? Listen, decode, and decide. You can subscribe now on iTunes.
Not the biggest divide in America these days. Are you a day after Thanksgiving deal seeker or a Cyber Monday shopper? Marketplace's Jed Kim looked into some consumer strategies.
The logistics of planning two major sales days are considerable. One's in physical stores, the other's online. Even just staffing.
It's two different payroll groups, labor groups, so there's no crossover.
Stan Pomer is CEO of Pomer Consulting Group. He says online sales are growing, so major retailers have responded.
More staffing, more resources, more investment over the last year into their online businesses.
But what about the deals? Do you offer distinct ones for each day? Robin Shirk of Kantar Retail says when it comes to Cyber Monday, that may be moot.
We aren't seeing the same sort of single push around Cyber Monday that we used to.
She says it's becoming more like Cyber November. That means less worrying about buying on Friday and suffering remorse days later. Stores wouldn't benefit from that.
I think trying to do something like that might add more stress or more sense of hassle than it does reassurance.
You don't want to make your customers cynical or they might not shop at all. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
Okay, then there's Walmart that is letting its Cyber Monday online sale prices go live earlier, essentially moving Cyber Monday into Black Friday. The answer to why are they doing this is six letters long, AMAZON. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.